Beneath the cobbles of Cahabro lies the pit, a torturous prison of unforgiving stone, fashioned from the fallow caverns in the earliest days of the city. Graven in an age before memory, a sprawling labyrinth of tunnels and caverns descends into the vestiges of a once great and terrible dominion. For all its misery, the pit is but a threshold, teetering on the edge of a vast, roiling tenebrosity. Here, in this provenance of the profane, the aberrant ways of demons are revered by Cahabro's Stygian inhabitants. Only the most iniquitous offenders, deemed unfit for the mercy of execution, are cast into its gaping maw to suffer and die. And I, Danziger Eckhart, was among the worst ever to be thrown into the pit. It was in these depths I learned that there are things far worse than death. Now, if you'll keep your mouth shut, I'll tell you what desperate men are willing to do to survive. My abduction was swift and severe. A rough burlap sack thrown over my head from somewhere in the shadows, and a flurry of clubbing blows raining down from all sides. I was overcome with vertigo, and then, save for the soft scraping of my worn boots, I was dragged down into true darkness. In the pit, time lost all meaning. Within, I was stripped, starved, and drugged. Consciousness came in fits and starts. The foul odor of the charnel, the strange symbols scrawled across the stone walls, the impregnable iron manacles, the small bowl of putrescent black liquid from which I was forced to slake my thirst. These became the totality of my existence. For days, perhaps weeks, my mysterious captors remained hidden from sight. But their ministrations were unmistakable proof of their presence. Betwixt a drug-fueled haze, there were passing moments of clarity. Piercing pain demarcated etchings upon my flesh, runes intricately carved all over my body. Dark ichor oozed from these scarred adornments, a foul fluid staining the cavern floor, drip by drip. With every festering spatter, I sensed the erosion of my humanity. I prayed for death, but it would not come to pass. In its place, a terrible deliverance was to be had. When I had finally awoken from internment, I was struck by the blinding intensity of light from hundreds of blood-red candles. Slowly, I arose, blinking against the harsh glare. I was alone, and unchained. There remained no sign of my abductors, but shadows enveloped the edges of a rough cavern. In the center of the floor stood three large obelisks. Deep furrows had been carved into each of the stones, unmistakably intended to ensconce a human shape. Something stirred within those channels, a teeming mass of algae wreathed in a dense miasma. The strange, moist growth shuddered and heaved like a giant lung. Even the light of the candles seemed to flee from it. Immediately, I was filled with a palpable terror, a primal shiver worming its way from beneath the skin. It was then that I heard the whispers, thousands of them, echoing inside my head. My mouth opened in a scream, but no sound emerged. My limbs twitched and shuddered, but I could not flee. Slowly, against every fiber of my being, I took a step toward the stones, and then another. I could do nothing but watch as my body was wrested completely from my control. I was being drawn into the stone's furrow, and the mossy entity within its folds began to envelop me. The cold slither of gelatinous tendrils slid across, under, and into every orifice. The blackness began to inexorably overtake me. I closed my eyes, as I knew death was finally here. I felt myself passing into the custodian's embrace when I saw a shining silver knife pierce the blackness. Thin, strong hands grasped my wrists and wrenched me from the depths of a shadowy grave. As I lay upon the floor of the ritual chamber, I beheld a waifish figure. Still holding the knife in a shaking hand was a small girl, mouth arrested in a silent scream. Her flesh was carved with runes similar to my own. Before I could puzzle out what had happened, a strange shuffling echoed throughout the chamber. One by one, the blood-red candles were being snuffed out. The girl dropped the knife with a clatter. She was frozen in fear, and her face began streaming with tears. As darkness spread across the chamber, I saw brief glimpses of strange, hunched figures scuttling around the edges of the light, their features hidden within the folds of grey robes. Immediately, I grabbed one of the few remaining candles, lifted the girl into my arms, and sprinted wildly away. I did not look back. Cradling the girl and acting on blind instinct, I barreled through the grasping, outstretched hands of our abductors to the edge of the light. There I discovered a narrow fissure in the cavern wall, hidden from view. Squeezing both of us through the crack, I ran through endless tunnels, careening madly off the walls as enraged hisses erupted from behind us. Long we fled into the constricting darkness, with the flickering candle our only guide. A low droning chant writhed through the tunnels, the promise of perdition borne upon its insidious crescendo as our pursuers drew ever closer. The path ahead became more and more treacherous, yet I persisted forward, each agonizing step more difficult than the last. The candle was nearly consumed when exhaustion had overtaken me. Gasping for breath, I slumped to the floor of the tunnel. The girl's arms unclasped from around my neck and her green eyes met mine, wet with tears. I cradled the frightened girl, stroking her hair. I began to think about my daughter, to the many times I wished I could hold her again, just like that. It seemed a lifetime ago. That night, the young girl had saved my life, but together we were doomed. Even if it was only the faintest chance one of us might be able to escape, a sacrifice had to be made, and I knew what I had to do. In one swift motion, I grasped her ankle and twisted hard. I felt the bones give with a soft snap, like breaking a wet twig. There was a soundless scream of pain and forlorn sobs, her tiny fingers outstretched toward the last of the light as I carried it around the corner. I never looked back.